Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, thank God for Thursday. I trust that you have had a glorious and a victorious week thus far. And this is Apostle Miller, and I am so glad that you tuned in to the broadcast today. I send a shout-out to Apostle Armstrong and Lady Armstrong, who is the host of the broadcast. I thank and praise the Lord for allowing us to have a part in it. We thank and praise the Lord for each and every one that been tuning into the broadcast. We've been in a series of teaching about the spirit of division. The spirit of division have, we started out, we was talking about it have not only invaded around the world, invaded in, you know, in the homes, in the community, in the government, but it have invaded the body of Christ in the churches, that spirit of division. And we need to know who is the root cause of it. It's Satan. It's not God, but it's Satan. And we need to know that that's not the will of God. And we need to also know how the spirit of division can hinder you from going spiritually. It can hinder the flow, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And Satan have always went to extreme measures to get you and I, or better yet, humanity, to doubt and disobey what God say. And we need to know, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter, the first chapter, how God have given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. I think I quoted that right. And we need to know, but it's not going to automatically happen. And that's something that I had to learn. You know, regardless of where everything that God have given us, I said wrong. It's in 2 Peter. I'm sorry. It's in 2 Peter, the first chapter. I'm sorry. God have given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. In John, the 10th chapter, it tells us that the thief come only but to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I came that you would have life and have it more abundantly. But I found out as a born-again believer, it's not going to just automatically happen. That's the thing that a lot of Christians, they believe that the things of God, whatever God promised you, it just going to automatically happen. And God is going to make you do this and make you do that. All of that is an error. God is not going to make us do nothing. The promise of God, your inheritance, what you have inherited through Jesus' redemption work, it just ain't going to automatically happen either. And when I begin to find all of this out, it really transformed my life. What really, the message that really transformed my life, and it's still changing me even to this day, the already. When the Holy Spirit had me to go on a study and research about the already, what was the already, how the already benefit me, and it was talking about the redemption work of Christ. You know, some people just look at it, you know, once I'm saved, and I just want to get saved so I don't go to hell. And I was one of them people. But I found out that salvation don't only benefit me in the hereafter, but in eternity, but it benefit me now as a born-again believer, as a citizen in the kingdom. And as I stated, we've really been in Matthew, the 18th chapter, and we've been talking about what Jesus and how Jesus dealt with those disciples that was dealing with scribes, that was dealing with division. You know, if you go to Matthew, the 18th chapter, just give you a little quick review. The first 9 verses deal with offenses. It deal with offenses. If you read it in its entirety, the first 9 verses in the 18th chapter of Matthew, it deal with offenses. from 10 to 14, it talk about the lost sheep. It let you know that God is concerned about everyone, everybody. God love everybody. You know, a lot of time we'll quote St. John 3:16, and we'll talk about, for God so loved the world. Now, if a lot of people truly have a knowledge and an understanding according to St. John 3:16, you would do away with racism. Yes, you would. You would be able to avoid racism. You'll be able to avoid division. Come on now, rejection and bitterness, all of that, you would be able to avoid it, because you would see the spirit that is influencing that person instead of that person themselves. That's what also changed my life when I had a lot of bitterness and resentment in my life, and God began to show that to me. I didn't know, if you haven't been born again, your spirit is dead. In other words, you can't communicate with God. You don't see things from the spirit perspective. Everything you see is from the natural. Yes, yes. But anyway, God had to show me that because now I was in the kingdom of God. The Bible said that we be translated from the kingdom of darkness. He's talking about the power, the authority of Satan, who is the king of darkness. He is over the king of darkness, and translate us into the kingdom of his dear son. So when we get born again, we're in another kingdom. We're in the kingdom of God, and our spiritual eyes are come open to the reality of who God is, who Jesus is, who the Son of God is, and what God requires from us. Even the words in the Bible be a reality. It'll be real to us. Because a lot of people read the Bible, and I'm going to tell you, you can't make sense out the Bible with your five cents. I don't care even if you've been to college, but if you haven't been born again, it's hard for you to interpret the Bible and receive the knowledge, the understanding, and the revelation that God will have you to receive from it. But there, too, again, when my eyes came open, and I started studying, because he was always telling me, could nobody live this Bible. It was always telling me that ain't nobody perfect. It was always telling me, when God get ready for you to do something better, yet they were telling me, God will make you do it. I found out that was the error. That wasn't true either. But my thing is, like I said, we got to be able to not only recognize the spirit of division, but we got to know how to overcome it. We got to know how to resist it. We got to be able to be aware of it whenever it show up and show us how to avoid it. When you study the four Gospels, when you study about when Jesus walked the earth, you don't see nowhere where Jesus was inscribed. You don't see nowhere where Jesus walked in a fence. Better yet, you don't even see nowhere where Jesus would fight. Jesus never did that. Because Jesus knew that vengeance belonged to the Lord, and Jesus trusted himself to the Father, that the Father would do the fighting for him if any fight needed to be done. The Bible said on many occasions when they wanted to push him off a cliff, the Bible said Jesus went in between. They couldn't touch him. They could never touch Jesus. And when I studied the four Gospels and see all of that, you know, it amazed me. Now, Jesus was the Son of God. Now, guess what? Now we are the sons of God. If you've been born again, now you are the sons of God. But like I said, then you read in Matthew 18, just give them a little quick review, from the 15th verse to the 17th verse, is talking about sin and forgiveness. There, too, again, I really want you to focus on forgiveness in this setting, because we need to realize forgiveness is very important to our relationship with God and our relationship with other brothers and sisters in the body. You need to know forgiveness is a must. It's not, well, you know, I don't have to forgive. Listen, no, you don't. But if you know the consequences are not forgiven and what it would do to your relationship, what it would do to when it come down to receiving the answer to your prayer, seeing the manifestation to your prayers and all of that, it makes a difference, you know. So I want you to pay attention to that. I really want, and even then from 18, he talked about the division in the church. But from the 18 to the 20, he going back again, and he talking about he gonna bring us up, and he gonna talk about forgiveness again. Now for Jesus to constantly talk about forgiveness and this 18th chapter in division and offenses, it got to be something to it. You know, God didn't just have the Bible to write things and people just fill up the space. No, it's very important. And when the Holy Spirit unraveled us, it really show us. We're going to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you again for this day. And I give you praise. I give you honor. I thank you now. Right now, we plead the blood of Jesus over the airways. I thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that will breathe over the airways, that he will bring enlightenment, he will bring understanding to those that have tuned in. I thank you that Satan is a defeated foe. I thank you he is bind. We bind detraction, anything that will come to try to interfere or hinder those that would tune in and hear your word today. I thank you, Father, now. I thank you, Father, now. It is your will for your peoples to hear. I thank you, Father, it is your will for us to hear. It is your will for us to know the danger of division, that spirit of bitterness and resentment, offense, and all. It is your will for us to overcome it, to resist it, and to know who is the root cause, where is it coming from. And I thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. But as I stated, and like I said, when you read this and see this, it really makes a difference because forgiveness is a choice. Now, if you go to Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, it tells you where God said before us life and blessing and curses. But he told them to choose life that them and their seed may receive. And there too again, here's an act of our will. Everything about God, we have to choose. God ain't going to make us do nothing, but God gave us. We are free moral agent. We have a will, you know. And I used to say this all the time, but I had to learn what it means when I said that I'm a free moral agent. God gave me a will, and I can choose to do or not to do what God say. But I hadn't came into the knowledge and the understanding that it's consequences, that God is spiritual laws just like it's natural laws. But I had to find out, yes, I can choose to rebel. I can choose to disobey what God say, but its consequences come with it. That's something God done already established. Once something is established, it don't change. And y'all listen, when it come down to spiritual laws, the Bible tells, I think it's in Numbers, the 23rd chapter, it said, God is not a man that he will lie, nor the son of man that he shall repent. Hath not God spoken that God won't bring it to pass? In Jeremiah, God told Jeremiah, he said, I watch over my word to perform it. God is not like man. God ain't going to change his mind. Here's some things that God have established in the spirit realm, and God is not going to change them laws. If when we violate those God's spiritual laws and God's principles, let me tell you what happens. We're going to reap the consequences. A lot of times, but if you don't know that, if your mind haven't been renewed, after you get born again, you're going to continue to operate in that old worldly mind. You're going to blame everybody and blame God for your mistakes or what the choices you made. But once you come into the kingdom and get some knowledge and understanding, you find out I'm responsible for my action, and I don't have to do it the way I used to do it. But an unrenewed mind will have you thinking like that. Okay, on Monday, we talked about the spirit of discord. Now, in Proverbs, the 6th chapter, in the 19th verse, that was one of the things that God hates, false witness, those that are quick to do evil, plot evil, and he hates discord. And that's what part of when you get in strife, when you get in division, that's what it do. It's discord. It brings separation. Come on, it'll separate you. And there too, again, as I stated, this is one of the strategies that the enemy used, because he know the power of division. He know the power of strife. See, once you come into this knowledge, you know. So we stopped with Proverbs 6. We was in that on Monday, and we went to James the 3rd chapter. I didn't go all the way in and read it, but right now I want to start at James the 3rd chapter. I'm going somewhere with this. James the 3rd chapter, and the first 8 verses, it talk about your tongue. Your words. Words is so powerful. The way we release our authority is in words. You know, words, you can look, words, scribe come in the form of word, hatred, bitterness, resentment. All of that come in the form of a word. It begins with a thought, but then you release it with your words. Words is so powerful. The Bible even talk about the law of confession. That's a spiritual law. And you hear a lot of ministers, you probably hear a minister preach on Genesis, the 1st chapter, you know, talk about how in the beginning, how God spoke the word into existence. Well, what a lot of saints don't realize, you and I have the same authority. We have the same ability. Once we get born again, our words have power. Our words can activate spiritual laws. I'm telling you, it can activate. It'll activate a law. Spiritual laws are either, it's going to either activate the law of life in Christ Jesus, it's going to either activate the law of sin and death. Now, some people might not know that, but it do. Okay, we're going to read from the Living Bible. Let's go to James the 3rd chapter. And I've been trying to get out of this Matthew 18, and the Lord haven't ish yet release me from, and I'm glad, because the more I read it and stuff, I'm finding out, you know, y'all, God is serious about what he say. God is so serious, you know. He is so serious about what he say. Okay, in James the 3rd chapter, I'm in the Living Bible, and I'm going to start reading at the 1st verse, and it's talking about your tongue, about your words. And this is what he said. He said, dear brother and sister, not many of you should become teachers in the church. We who teach will be judged by God with greater strictness. We all make many mistakes, but those who control their tongue can also control themselves in every other way. We can make a large horse turn around and go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. In a tangled rubbish, make a huge ship turn wherever the pilot wants it to go. Even though the wind is strong, so also the tongue is a small thing, but that enormous damage it can do. A tiny spark can set a great forest on fire, and the tongue is a flame of fire. It is full of wickedness that can run your whole life. It can turn the entire course of your life into a blazing flame of destruction. For it is set on fire by hell itself. And there too, again, a lot of time, I don't think people's aware of what's coming out of their mouth. The Bible even tells us, he said, watch what's coming out of your mouth. One of the scriptures tells, set a watch over my mouth, keep the doors of my lips. And I pray that sometimes, God, set a watch over my mouth. God, cause me to be aware what's coming out of my mouth, what I'm saying. Because sometimes we don't take in consideration what we are saying when adversity hits. Maybe when somebody offend us. Come on, somebody. False accusation of somebody being gospel, somebody lying on, sometime, because your first inclination would be, you know, to get revenge. You know, I used to chase lies down. Yes, I did. I couldn't stand for nobody to tell a lie on me. And I remember when the Lord told me, he said, Ann, people going to do that. He said, that's one thing. As a born-again believer, you're going to be persecuted for righteousness. He said, but you don't go around and try to chase why they said what they said, whether you guilty or not. He said, because people going to do that. He said, you got to learn how to overcome a lie. You got to know how to not let a lie cause you to get in bitterness and resentment. Come on, somebody. And don't let it bring division and discord, because he'll do it. I'm telling you, and this is what Jane was saying about the tongue. And like I said, there too again, Jane talked a lot about tongue, and we release words of strife, division, offenses, bitterness, and resentment. It come through words. It begin with a thought, but it come through words. We open up our mouth, and if you ain't aware or taking consideration what you saying or how powerful your words is and what your words can do to somebody else. You know, some people is still holding on words or somebody said to them anywhere from 1 month to 6 months to a year to 1 year to two, maybe 10 or maybe 30 years. You don't know what they said to me. That's even when it comes down to forgiving people, because they still rehearsing what was said, the word that somebody said and what somebody did. And the more they rehearse it, the harder it is for them to release it, to forgive them. Okay? But look what he said. He said, people can tame all kind of animals and birds and reptiles and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is an uncontrollable evil full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praise our Lord and Father, and sometimes it break out into curse against those who have been made in the image of God. Now, the King James says it shouldn't be. We shouldn't praise God with our words and with our tongue 1 minute and then turn around and curse people. Come on, somebody. In the next, it shouldn't be that way. But when, like I said, when you not aware what's coming out of your mouth or what the power of your words and what your words can do to somebody else, to another individual, listen, you're on danger ground. I see why the Bible tells us in Ephesians, he said, neither give place to the devil, get angry and sin not. And I remember when the Lord said, he said, watch what's coming out of your mouth. And the Lord had to let me see this even when it came down to prayer. Y'all, when it come now, you ever notice when it's time to pray about it, you can have so much of faith. But once you get through praying, and we're going to go into that, once you get through praying, if you notice how you switch, if your situation or the thing you prayed about, if you don't see suddenly and immediately change, your words change. Your words change. You start speaking doubt and unbelief. You let the enemy get in, he be influencing, and you want to know why this ain't took place, or why God ain't did this, or why God ain't did that. Come on now. Okay. And then he said, it break out into curse against those who have been made in the image of God, and so blessing and curses come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brother and sister, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Can you pick olives from a fig tree, a fig from a grapevine? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty pond. I hear what he's saying. Then he said, if you are wise and understand God's way, live a life of steady goodness so that only good deeds will pour forth. And if you don't brag about the good you do, then you will be truly wise. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't brag about being wise. That is the worst kind of lie. For jealousy and selfishness is not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritually motivated by the devil. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every kind of evil. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. It is also peace, loving, gentle at all times, willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy, good deed. It shows no partiality and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of goodness. Okay, now as I stated in Matthew, the 18th chapter, we're going to go back there. In Matthew, the 18th chapter, I done said it, and I'm going to say it again. A lot of times when we go to Matthew, the 18th chapter, people will skip the first 17 verses. Yes, they'll skip over the first 17 verses. They'll skip over offenses. They'll skip over all of that, and they favor scripture. Come on now. The number one scripture they'll go to will be that they'll get down to that 18th verse, and they'll begin to say, now, the Bible said in Matthew 18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bind in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. And he said in that 19th verse, again he said unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst. Like I said, they'll skip over the first 17 verse, and they'll key into that 18, 19, in that 20 verse, because they want somebody, they want to bind something, or they want to lose something. And they want somebody to come in agreement with them. They ain't thinking about whether they got them has strife in their heart, if they got offenses, or if they dealing with unforgiveness. And they don't realize that would interfere. I want you to hear me. That would interfere with your relationship with God. It'll interfere with the anointing that would destroy it, the yoke and remove the burden. It will hinder, I'm telling you. But like I said, and a lot of people, they go away and they be mad at God. Yeah, the Bible said this, but God didn't do it. No. The shortage is not in God. That's why a lot of times it's good if you read the whole chapter to see what God is really saying, you know. Because for a long time, you know, I done been down that road. Now, wait a minute, God. And the Lord had to really get it over to me. And I don't lie. Yeah, now some people say, now, Prophet Miller, y'all know, yeah. You know, a lot of people might not come out and say, God, I believe you lie, but you can live it. You can act it. You can act a lie just as good as you can tell one. The way we live and what come out of our mouth will let you know whether you truly believe what God say or you doubt what God say. Okay? In Matthew, the 18th chapter, I'm going to read that 17. I'm going to read that Matthew 18. I'm going to read that 17 verse. I'm going to read that 17 verse. I want to make sure I'm in 18. I'm going to read that 17 verse. Matthew 18 and 17. I want to make sure I'm right now. Matthew 18 and 17. I want to make sure I'm going to read it from the Amplified. 18 and 17. He said, if he pay no attention to them, refuse to listen and obey, tell it to the church. And if he refuse to listen, even to the church, let him be to you as a pagan and a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you forbid. Now, see, he talking about sorbet discord. That's what he talking about, in division. That's what he talking about. He said, if the brothers don't listen to you, and then you bring it, you go to them first, if they don't listen, we done been over this, if they don't listen to you, then you bring two more witnesses with you. And then if they don't listen, then you bring it to the church. But if they don't listen to the church, he said, this is the way you did with them. But then he gone down to the 18th verse, truly tell you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper, unlawful on earth, must be what is already forbid in heaven, and whatever you permit and declare proper, lawful on earth, must be what is already permit in heaven. You see, it ain't no strife. And I see now some people, how you do that? Well, the Bible said we're in heavenly place with Christ. Christ and I'm one as a believer. That ain't got nothing to do with how I feel. That come about all according to me renewing my mind and find out what God say about me. Sometimes I don't know about you. See, that's why salvation, we do it by faith. You know, even forgiveness, a lot of people have a hard time forgiving people. And they own themselves up for division. They own themselves up for strife, bitterness, and resentment because you're trying to feel forgiveness. The enemy have you to reason the voice of God, and you'll be trying to figure out, do they deserve it? Now, it ain't about that. Forgiveness is just like everything else about God. I have to choose. I can choose. I choose to serve God. I choose to be saved. God didn't make me get saved. The Holy Spirit revealed to me and convicted me and let me know I needed a Savior. But God didn't make me get saved. God don't make me stay saved. It's a choice. It's just like people choose to get up and go to work. You know, most people, don't nobody make you go to work. You choose to go to work because you know you need the finances. If you choose not to go to work, you suffer the consequences. That's your choice. Well, it's the same way when you even get born again. God ain't going to make you. You got to choose. And if you choose to forgive, God will help you to forgive. But you got to know how to forgive, and God will show us in his word. Okay? And like I said, then he said, whatever we forbid, we can bind. If strife going on in your house, you see that spirit of strife rising up. Well, you can bind it, but guess what? You got to be part of the peacemaker. Come on, somebody. You see division in your home. You need to address it. See what is the root cause? Where it's coming from? Come on now. Because see, the enemy gonna always give us a reason to be in strife. He gonna always give us a reason to be at odds with one another. That just the way I had to learn that. The enemy going always, because he hates unity. He go to extreme measure to bring division, misunderstanding. Most of the time, once I came into that mouth, the Lord began to show, whenever I see misunderstanding, when I see strife, oh, Lordy. And sometimes the Bible tells you can't reason with a fool. You ever been trying to solve avoid strife and stop strife and division? You trying to talk to somebody and they just want to argue. Now the Bible says soft word turn away wrath. You try to use soft word and they still just want. You can't reason with a fool. Sometimes it's just best to walk away. I gave you some scripture last week on the. Sometimes you just have to walk away. And as the old folks said, just let it cool down. My mama used to always tell me, can't nobody argue by themselves too long. Just get quiet. But a lot of time, if you ain't careful, that spirit will get on you, and you'll be trying to prove a point. Now, y'all listen. But if you, some people just through life, they don't allow a lot of strife and bitterness and resentment in their heart. And when you meet somebody like that, they'll go, if we said, from 1 to 100. But I'm telling you, as I'm talking about born-again believers, the spirit of division, the spirit of strife, bitterness and resentment, it not supposed to be a part of us. We not supposed to let strife and division, discord. We not supposed to let division dominate us. Now, sinner, here's a whole different ballgame. But as born-again believers, just like James said, it shouldn't be we bless God with praise and bless God with one voice, and the next minute we cursing somebody or we inscribe with somebody. You know, even like I said, in the government, you know, you hear people, I hate Donald Trump. I hate this person. That, now, if a sinner said it, I don't have a problem with sinners saying that. But the Bible tells us in Timothy, it tells us that we need to pray for those in authority. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to pray for those in authority. He said, first of all, let me go there. He tells us what we're supposed to do. Well, Prophet Miller, I know what the Bible said, but this is what I think. Well, guess what? What you think and what I think, if our opinion don't agree with what God's word says, yeah, we in trouble. See, as sons of God, as born-again believer, as citizens in the kingdom, we supposed to show people, we supposed to be representative of Christ. We supposed to show people how to solve their everyday problem with the word of God. That's what Christianity is all about. We Christ-like. Jesus said, I didn't come to do my will, but I came to do the will of the one that sent me. It's all about what God said. It ain't about us. It ain't about me. It ain't about you. It's about the Christ that is in me. We represent Christ. Okay? But he tells us in 1 Timothy, the second chapter. Like I said, you got division in the government. You got it in the White House. You got it in community. You got it in people house. But like I said, when we see this division operating in the body of Christ, y'all, we on danger ground. We hinder the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can't do everything he wants to do. And the enemy know how dangerous Christ is. That's why he go to extreme measures to try to get you and I to violate the law and the principles of God so he can intercept and interfere with what God want to do. That's just the way it works. But he tell us in 1 Timothy 2nd chapter, he tell us that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings, we don't have a king, we have a president. For kings and for all that in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceful life and all godliness and honest. For this is good and accepted in the sight of our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of truth. For there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. See, he's telling us what God requires. But I hear people, I hate Trump. I hate Biden. I hate this. And I'm saying, I mean believers, not sinners. I'm talking about believers. Now, if a sinner said that, I don't have a problem. Now, I disagree with some things happening in the Democrat and in the Republican. I don't hate them. But what I do, I pray for them. Now, I remember one time over 30 years ago, I did say I hated one of the presidents. And the Holy Spirit, he quickly rebuked me. And he told me, he said, if you wasn't prayed for him according to 2 Timothy in the second chapter, he said, if you wasn't prayed for him, he could probably do a better job. And from that day to this day, now, don't get me wrong. All of us tempted to do wrong. Please hear me. Nobody's exempted. Nobody's exempted. As long as you're on this side or on this earth, you're going to be tempted. Temptation is only when Satan comes to try to get us to go the opposite of what God wants us to do. But all of us tempted that want to get in all offenses, strife, bitterness, resentment, discord. All of us tempted to do that. But guess what? Because the greater one is in us, we can over what? We can overpower it. Now, I want us to go, what we're going to do now, we're going to go to Mark 11, and hear Jesus, and I love, it's amazing how Jesus constantly having connecting prayer with forgiveness. We're going to Mark 11, and I'm going to be, this is what I probably might close with this evening. But I want you to see the danger of division and discord. What scribes do to a family. I read the other week, I had many scriptures on it, but I'm showing it this way. But we need to be aware and watch what's coming out of our mouth. When we disagree with some, whether we agree or disagree, when somebody done brought accusation against it, y'all, we need to be careful. The Bible said get angry and sin not. And as I stated, all of us can be tempted. But you need to know the power of your word, to know that when you speak negative word, it's activating the law of sin and death. You activate a spiritual law. You know, the old folks, you said, once you say it, you can't take it back. In words. Words have destroyed people's lives. Words have caused people to go in depression, to be stressed. Come on, somebody. Withdraw. Isolate themselves. Words do that. And you know, I was raised up, and you don't hear my testimony many times. My daddy was very abusive, and my daddy could say some horrible things to us. And those words just sunk me in la la land. I mean, my nerve was just all in a mess. But my daddy didn't realize. My daddy didn't know the reality. He didn't know what spirit was influencing. Yes, some bad things happened to him in life, and he wasn't saved. He didn't have a knowledge of God. He didn't know nothing about God. Excuse me. But I'm telling you, your words have power. Husband, wife, when you disagree with one another, watch what's coming out of your mouth. When you disagree, sibling, when you disagree with one another, watch what's coming out of your mouth. I remember when God gave me this word, when it came down to my sibling, sometimes we would disagree with one another and to eliminate discord. God gave me this. He said, "And don't let Satan come between you and your sibling." You know, see, when God would say words like that to me, don't allow Satan to come between you and your sibling. And when he gave me some knowledge and understanding about that, he said, the enemy don't want y'all to get along. Amen. You know, the Bible tells us, and I showed you in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, how the Corinthians, they was in jealousy, and they was in strife, they was in division, they were trying to exalt Apollo above Paul. They were saying one was better than the other, and Paul was trying to get them straight. He was telling them, "What are y'all doing?" The Bible said God called some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists. Y'all listen, God didn't call all of us to do the same thing. I found out if I focus on what God assigned Prophet Miller to do, I ain't got time to focus on what he told you to do. And if I see you going contrary to what God's word said, I ain't going to get on the phone and talk about you. I'm going to pray for you and ask God to help us to get this thing right and do this thing right. The Bible tells us to pursue peace with all men. He ain't say all men going to be peaceful with you, but he telling you. Come on, he telling you. And look, now let's look at St. Mark, the 11th chapter. Okay, everybody know about Jesus cursed the fig tree, and the next day what happened? Now, if you notice, when he cursed that fig tree, he just said, "Father, in Jesus' name, he didn't go in that state, you know. He spoke words. He said, "No figs on this tree hereafter." That's what he said. He just said, "No man will eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." He spoke it. He released that with his words. He activated a law, stop it from ever producing fruit. Okay, but in that 27, in Jesus answer said unto them, "Have faith in God." Peter noticed what Jesus had did, and he said, "Wow, you just cursed it yesterday. Now we coming, and now it done died from the root." Peter was amazed because he ain't hadn't seen nobody. Words were so powerful that they could speak something, and what they speak were manifest. I was amazed, too, when God began to tell me, "And your words got power." How in the world my words got power? Ain't nobody ever told me. That don't make sense to your five senses. But I'm going to read it from the, Mark 11. I'm reading from my Living Bible. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, this is so good. I don't know about y'all, but this is so good. It said, the next morning, as they were leaving, Jesus felt hungry. I don't want to read that part because late the time we in. I want to hurry up and get through with this. Okay, I'm in the 20th verse. It said, the next morning, as they passed by the fig tree, he had cursed. How did he curse it? With his words. Negative words coming is considered as curse. That's why he cursed it with his word. He said, no fruit hereafter. No fruit going to come. That he used his word. I ain't disagreeing with what James said in the epistle, James, the 3rd chapter, talking about our words, the power of our tongue, how it can sit. And when it can sit on the course of hell, that means you can activate the kingdom of darkness with your words. That's why if you constantly going around saying you are nobody, I found out my body going to line up with my words. I have to choose to receive what you say. And when I choose to receive what you say, my body, my soul, my mind, my will, it'll line up with it. You ever done said, I'm just tired, I ain't going to do nothing today, and if you don't get nothing done, you find yourself, you just be tired too. But that just the way it worked in the natural. Our words have power. But it said the next one, as they passed by the fig tree, he had cursed the disciple. Notice, he had cursed the disciple, noticing was withered from the root. Peter remembered that Jesus had said to the tree on the previous day, and exclaimed, look, teacher, the fig tree you cursed had withered. When Jesus said to the disciple, have faith in God, I assure you that you can say to this mountain, may God lift you up and throw you in the sea. And command, it will obey. All that requires is that you really believe and do not doubt in your heart. Listen to me. You can pray for anything, and if you believe, you will have it. But when you are praying first, see, this will get me. It's something here he's trying to get over to us. He said it in Matthew, the 18th chapter, as I say, before he told where any two touching the green on earth. He talked about strife, division. Come on, division. He talked about it, y'all. So he was trying to get over to let them know unforgiveness. And see, you got to get rid of this here. And some of you out there, you done prayed about the same thing for so long that you done cast away all your confidence in God. You mad at God. You mad with everybody. But you don't realize if you and I is not lining our words in our life but with the laws and the principles of God, we not going to experience what God say. You got some people, you know, I asked them, and I had to learn. I don't pray and ask God to heal me because according to Isaiah 53 and 5, according to Matthew 8 and 16 and 17, God done already did it. According to Peter, he done already healed us. We don't ask God to heal us. Whatever Jesus did, or God did through Jesus in his redemption, we command it to be. I command healing to be. I don't ask God to heal me. If I have a pain, and then he said, speak to the mountain. If I have a pain in my body, I command it to go. But first, look what he said. Listen to me. You can pray for anything, and if you believe, you will have it. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. He said first. But like I said so many times, people forget about it and say, oh, you know, I have every reason and every right not to forgive so-and-so. Listen, God do not measure forgiveness based upon what somebody did to us, but it based upon the price that Jesus paid for us. God forgave me for Christ's sake. That's what, when you go back to Matthew 18, and this what when Peter asked him, must I forgive him? How many times do I need to forgive him? You're not supposed to keep a count, but you got to choose to forgive. You got to make up in your mind to obey what God say. God said, forgive. Even in the Lord's Prayer, he tell us to forgive those that trespass against us. That's what he said. We got to be forgiven even as God forgets. But you got to make up in your mind, based upon what God's word said, before somebody do anything to you, once you come into this knowledge, you got to make up. I had to make up in my mind, and I constantly have to do it. Because the enemy going to constantly come and try to have people that mistreat me and speak against me and do all this crazy stuff because he don't want me to operate in forgiveness. You got to make up in your mind, okay, God, you said forgive. So when somebody do something, you got to be quick to say, Father, right now, by faith, I forgive them. You don't be trying to if you ain't came in truly into the knowledge and understanding about what forgiveness is, you're going to sit around with an old renewed mind and you're going to try to figure out, do they deserve your forgiveness? It don't work that way. And this what Jesus was trying to tell them in Matthew, the 18th chapter. You cannot sit around and try to decide whether people, come on somebody, whether people deserve your forgiveness or not. He would tell me how the kingdom go. If you go to Matthew 18, the 21 verse, he tell you how it's supposed to be done. And he tell us in that 35th verse in Matthew 18:35, he said, that's what my heavenly Father would do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters in your heart. And we don't forgive them, God won't forgive us. Now listen, forgiveness is here. But if we choose as an act of our will to disobey God and don't forgive people, well, God ain't going to forgive you. That's just it. Well, I just don't believe that. Well, look, you can believe what you want to believe. I'm just telling you what he said in his word. Now, when I go to, and he tells us that, okay, in the King James Version, I got to bring this thing in. In the King James, he said, that 23rd verse, for truly I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. Look at the 25th verse, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. He's telling you that. Forgiveness is a choice. You have to choose. Everything about what God requires us to do, we have to choose to do it. And if we choose to do it, and we do it by faith, hear me good, faith. You think Jesus wanted to go to the cross? No. But he chose to obey God. Even what he had to deal with, and I love what Mark said. Mark tells us that when Jesus even met, he prayed and he said, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, my will, but your will. Now, Jesus knew from the beginning. But he said, and Mark said, his soul had got exceedingly sorrowful. He had not got weak in his soul, his will. Mind, it got weak. But the Bible said, after he said that, an angel came down. Come on, somebody. It said an angel came down. God, I love you. An angel came down and strengthened Jesus. An angel strengthened him. Come on now. An angel came down and strengthened Jesus. When Jesus asked that the cup, he said, let it pass for me. Nevertheless, my will, but he said, your will be done. He had to be strengthened, and I'm telling you, God help all of us. Because the Bible tells us the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak, I'm telling you. Our flesh is weak, but our spirit is strong. And I'm telling you, you go read Mark, you go read John, and you go read Luke. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, what happened? And how the angel came down and strengthened him. Listen, I'm telling you, but he's telling us, and I really want to bring this out today. Forgiveness is a choice. It ain't got nothing to do with how you feel. And you and I have to make up in our mind whether we going to obey God or not. God ain't going to make you obey him. And we can really get rid of division, strife, bitterness, and resentment if we choose to walk in forgiveness. And you do it by faith. Part of obeying God, God, you said to forgive. See, you can't wait till somebody do something to you and then say, I'm going to forgive them. It's going to be hard. But you need to get this in your mind and study up on forgiveness. And after you study, okay, God, you said forgive. By act of my faith, act of my will, I choose to forgive. Now, Lord, help me to walk it out. God will help you. And when the devil try to bring back to your mind what they did or what they said, no, I don't forgive them. Because he'll do that. He'll torment you if you allow him. See, the way you crush strife and division is with your word. Open your mouth up. No, I don't forgive. One thing I used to do when the enemy would constantly accuse me and accuse people, and they did this to you. I said, yeah, you the one that influenced them to do it. They don't like you. I said, you influenced them. I said, if they don't like me, you influenced them. Because, see, the enemy inject thoughts to you. And I will open my mouth up, and every time I said that, I will intercept that thought. I stop it. I will stop it. Bitterness and resentment. And ought to get in my heart. And sometimes, like I said, you have to wrestle with your thoughts. The battle is in your mind. The enemy come in a thought. God come in a thought. Yeah, sometimes you give me the tip up, but he come through thoughts too. But I'm telling you, and I want to show you, because like I said, a lot of people, they want to bind they on earth and do all this stuff. They want to touch and agree, but they forget about the first 17 verses. I got some out in my heart. I'm mad. I got bitterness and resentment in my heart against my loved ones and so on. We ain't spoken 20 years. I have heard people say that, me and my siblings, we ain't spoken 20 years. I tell Ann Miller, you ain't getting in that. Now, if you don't want to be bothered with me, no, I'm not going to force myself on you. But I'm not going to go out there and talk about you either. If anything, I call a mature believer and say, look, we want to pray. I want you to come and agree with me about so-and-so. And they dealing with offenses. They dealing with unforgiveness. And that's not God. Let's pray for them. I'm telling y'all, we can shut division down in the body of Christ if we do what the words say. Arguing about the scripture. I talked about that. Why you want to do that? Leave people alone. Stop trying to be Holy Ghost Junior. I had to learn. I can't change nobody. Just like, I can't make y'all receive, you that have tuned into the broadcast, I can't make y'all receive what I said. I done showed it to you, but I can't make you do it. Come on. I can't make you do. Father, again, I want to thank you for your word. I give you praise. I give you honor. I want to thank you for those that have tuned into the broadcast. I thank you, Father, for bringing enlightenment and understanding even more about the law of confession and about forgiveness. I thank you. I praise you for them right now. I thank you, Father, for bringing conviction. In Jesus' name, amen. And I'm telling you, this can handle your healing too. Unforgiveness can do it, y'all. Again, this was Apostle Willie Ann Miller, and I pray that you enjoy the rest of your evening.